Okay, let's just have a word of prayer and then we'll jump into some more material. Heavenly Father, just give us wisdom now and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talked about these three areas, what we'd like to do now is to touch very quickly in those other two areas of manners and poise and clothing and grooming. So that you get a little brush with this, I've got about an hour and a half material on each one of these three, so we aren't able to really... We've given about everything I've got to share on the verbal and attitude thing. We did that last hour. But what I'll try to do here for you is to hit the manners and poise, hit the clothing and grooming material. Kind of rapid fire and at least give you some exposure. Maybe some other time we can nail it down a little tighter. Really what we're talking about is the general subject of social graces. I think that covers a number of these sub-topics. So really what we'll do in this hour and a half together will be talk about social graces. 1 Corinthians 13:5 in the King James says, "Doth not behave itself unseemly." In Phillips it says, "Love has good manners." In the Living Bible it says, "Is never rude." In the Amplified, it says, "It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly." There's good biblical basis for social grace. In 2 Corinthians 6:3, it says, "Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed." We should not be offensive in any way. And so often, there has been a misunderstanding between whether the gospel is what offends or whether the individual is the one who offends. And it should not be the individual who offends. And so we need to work in these areas of social grace. In Philippians 2:15, it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're a light in the world. We're above any reproach. That was Philippians 2:15. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or menial men, men of no reputation." And we never know when we might be in the presence of dignitaries, as a part of our ministry or as a part of our everyday life, at which time we need to know how to handle ourselves and be confident that what we're doing is correct. Last month, maybe it's longer than that, a few weeks ago, Betty and I were privileged to attend the governor's prayer breakfast in Denver at the Denver Hilton. All the big shots at Glen Eyrie were tied up and other ones around couldn't go, and so we got to go. And we felt like little ducks in a big pond. That was quite the deal. We sat just a few feet from the governor. And the people we sat with were kind of uppity people. But to know that our manners were right, to know that our appearance was right, to know that what we were saying and doing was right, you know, what a blessing. So let's go rapid fire into some of this. I'd like to hit the area of clothing and grooming to begin with. And then we'll go into the other topic in a few minutes. And this thing of clothing, I believe something that will be a great help to you are categories of clothing. And we talked about 1 Samuel 16:7 that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so I think with just this chart, and I'm sorry I didn't have time to mimeograph this off, sometime in the near future I will, and maybe give you some copies. But I've got seven categories of clothing that go from the very formal to the very informal. And I think by seeing this list, first we have the tux. And so that's tuxedo. You see the white jackets and tux pants at weddings. You see tuxedos What we're talking about here is formal wear. So this is the most dignified type of clothing we can wear in our society. The next down is suit and tie. And normally we just talk in terms of dress up. So this is what we would wear to church. This is what we would wear to a fine eating place. And so we are dressed up. Third category would be that of a sport coat. And let's call that dress sport. A lot of businessmen today wear a sport jacket with slacks. So in a sense, they're dressed up. Normally a tie, we're thinking of, that's marginal. It may be turtleneck, it may be tie, it may be... But mainly we're talking about a sport jacket and slacks. And so this is acceptable in many eating places. This is acceptable in the business world. And the next category would be the shirt and slacks level of dress. And we'll just call that average sport. This is often what we would wear in our off hours. This is often appropriate in going to someone else's home to cook hamburgers on the grill out and back, to spend an evening with people. So we're dressed appropriately if we just have a sport shirt and slacks for that type of an outing. Then the next category here is I've put shorts here. Maybe we're talking about summertime, walking shorts or Bermuda shorts. And we're really talking here about casual sport. It's hard to generalize as beautifully as we'd like. Probably there are some shirt and slacks combinations that fit under casual sport. You know, just by the design, like a Hawaiian shirt maybe or something, where we're wearing shirt and slacks, but still it isn't just average, it's more informal, it's more casual. And these overlap, but at least this will get you in the ballpark. The next is just call it wild and rough. And that has to do with the material, or it has to do with the coloring of the clothing. And maybe it's unusual design. But mainly we're talking here about beachwear. There's some shirts that come in a very rough fabric, and they aren't just average sport shirt, but they're really kind of different, or in their design. And the last category is grubby. And that is for work. So I've got a bunch of clothes that I use. I'm doing a little drywall in the basement, do a little painting here and there, and I've got some grubby clothes that they come out when I'm working in the yard, something like that. But this list, I think, is invaluable to you because you can sort of figure out where you're going and figure out what in the world you're going to wear to it. Now, what would you say I'm wearing today on the scale?
Between 3 and 4.
Between 3 and 4, that's what I'd say. Okay? But I've got a tie on. So the tie dresses me up a little bit. Now, if I don't know what the occasion is, I try to be as shrewd as I can and wear something so I can adapt. So an example of that is to wear a turtleneck with a sport jacket. You get there and you find, man, everybody looks pretty good. You leave that sport jacket on. You get there and you find, a lot of the guys just have on a shirt, just a regular sports shirt. I said, man, I'm overdressed. So you hang that thing up in the front closet. But just by seeing where we are in the scale here gives us some idea. Most men tend to underdress rather than overdress. And I think if in doubt, we ought to overdress a little. Now, we had a meeting the other night in Denver for a bunch of couples. Well, it was my wife had a study that she had on Friday mornings, and a gal came to Christ through it, and the rest were Christians. And two of the husbands, probably not Christians, so they set up a dinner for all these wives with their husbands. That's what the deal was just this last week. Well, we were supposed to pick up one of these couples, and I just figured, okay, I'm going to hit it about here, but I can come down to here if I need to. And so I had on a tie and shirt and sport coat, which going out for where there's going to be a meal in a home, it was a potluck deal. In my mind, that is this level. In my mind, that's eating out in another home. It's that level. So I came up to the door. We were supposed to pick him up, and he had to go pick up the babysitter yet. And so he had on what, in my judgment, was shirt and slacks, but it was almost below 4 on the scale because it wasn't that sharp, a shirt and slacks. He never got the clue. He went to that dinner deal with that sports shirt and slacks. Boy, if that guy come to my door, I'd been in that closet so fast it'd make your head swim, and I'd tossed on a tie, and I'd been out the door. And I don't feel that he was a testimony to those non-Christians in the sense of being really a sharp, alert kind of guy. So that little scale, I think, will help you out. Any questions or comments on that scale? I decide pretty fast. But I figure out what the level is of the occasion, and I say, okay, I'm going to dress that level or just a speck higher, but be able to dress back down. I don't want it to be substandard. I want to be a pace setter in it. I want to set the pace in it. And I think a dimension of this. See, the argument is, well, I don't want to be a stuffed shirt. I don't want to go there and just be too ritzy looking. But the fact is, if we are dressed right and we know we look right, we'll relax and we'll really relate to those people. If we're a little nervous about the spot on a shirt or something, then we kind of are self-conscious. So it'll liberate us, really, if we know we're dressed up enough. Claude?
This type of pant or a pastel type of Levi fit into that short, casual sport type thing?
Yeah, I'd say the checkered pants, the wild colors that are out now, normally it'd be the casual sport, around the casual sport.
What about Levi? A lot of guys wear them.
Yeah. Yeah, Levi's. No, I'd say they're casual sport or beachwear. You know, a beachwear, you know, I didn't know what word to use. You know what I'm saying. I'm just saying less formal. See, I feel most students are wearing number 6, say. Where, you know, a generation ago they were wearing 4 or 5.
How does that affect being that we're representatives? Like we're still going to be going into homes, like we came to your home and the Bible studies, some of them were kind of informal, so you would wear a shirt and slacks even.
I'd wear a dress sport and take off my jacket. That's what I'd do. That's about the level of that. Because you're representing the navigators, and so you come in, you can speak with more authority if you're dressed up. Funny deal.
There's no problem being just one step ahead of the people.
There's no problem with being one step ahead. Yeah. Yeah. See, I think our mentality has been be one step behind so we don't offend anybody or we're not trying to be too snooty about all this. But I think it's defeated us. I think we've been ahead to be one dressed just one notch higher than we ought to.
I read somewhere that your level of dress will determine your manner.
Excellent point, Fred. Yeah. Yeah, I think the way we handle ourselves really is affected by how we look. If we know we look right, we can relax and go in there. And boy, it helps. It helps in public speaking if you know you're looking okay. It helps in conversation. Okay, let's just kind of plow on down the road here. I'll just give you stuff rapid fire. But on this thing of colors, normally we think in terms of black, gray, and blue as sort of being in one category. And then we sort of think as of brown and green in another category. Normally, the accessories we wear with these is silver. Normally, the accessories we wear with these are gold. Now, the colors that go with everything are yellow and red. Now, a good thing to figure out, the way to figure out what colors go together oftentimes is just to see what colors are put together in fabric. If they go together in the fabric, you know, like let's take this shirt right here. Now, what could he wear with that shirt? Well, he could wear either blue or brown because they're both in it. That's a versatile shirt. See, now Will could take any one of those colors in there and he'd... Now, with patterns, we ought to be wearing a solid with a pattern. Now, even though the trend today is to mix patterns a lot, still, those who are really trying to dress, you know, really sharp aren't mixing patterns that much. So we need to watch mixing patterns. Now, I haven't checked recently, but not long ago, IBM had a standard, a color, a code of dress that they had to wear solids, colored socks. I think in general, we ought to wear solid colored socks. One color. And they, I know they've softened their standards a little bit here, but the solid socks and a striped tie, they call it rep tie, oftentimes in a clothing store, and a white shirt and a solid colored dark suit. Now that you see that's very conservative. And I think they've softened that a little bit because there was an IBM executive at our meeting the other night. And he had just gotten off of the plane from Albuquerque and come over to this meeting. And he had on solid colored socks. He had on a solid colored suit, but it was a light color. And I'm sorry I didn't check out what he had on, shirt and tie. I've forgotten. But anyway, all I'm saying is these businesses that really want to do the job, they're very conservative about, you know, this whole thing. Okay, then on shoes, just a few quickie remarks on that, is watch out for worn out heels. Now mine are just about due. They're getting down there. But they'll wear, that heel will wear on them. And it doesn't cost that much to keep heels on shoes. And boy, it looks so much better if they got good heels on them. Another thing is to have extra laces on hand. It hardly costs anything. I've got a whole bunch of laces. I've got a box that I keep my shoe polish stuff in. And keep those on hand. And one good shine, all you got to do is touch it up. You know, it'll last for weeks if you really give some time. Give 30 minutes, give 20 minutes, you know, to really putting a good shine on some shoes. This thing of using cotton and have it wet, have the cotton wet, and dip it in the polish, and then dip it in the water, and use a circular motion, put it on light. Be sure the shoes are clean. That works real good. Some of this scuff coat kind of polish, you know, for shoes that we're going to wear for a casual sport or work or, you know, some of those other categories. You know, it's a liquid and you just put it on and it comes out looking real good. It'll last quite a while. I think Scuff Coat is one name brand. And that's what I've got on mine right now. In the winter, that's what I just smear that stuff. Cause winter's a hard time to keep shine shoes looking and wearing they're good. And then having some rough finish shoes, Hush Puppies or, you know, another brand. That sort of thing, I think, around Glen Eyrie is really practical because of the dust and the gravel and everything. But there are just a few quickie comments on shoes. Boots are in right now, you know, with the zipper on the side. Those are in. Plain toes are in. There's some wild up-to-date things available today that, you know, 5 or 10 years ago there weren't these things. But wild shirts, wild ties, wild coats, wild slacks. So, you know, shoes, man, they get the high heels on them. I'd wear those high-heeled shoes that are two-tone. I'd wear them. But I'd think of them on the scale as being nothing higher than average sport. Oh, I might go up as far as number 3 with them if I had a good sport jacket on. Because you do see them in the business community now. Yeah.
What's your opinion on white shoes?
White shoes? I think they're terrific in the summer. Usually you think of the light colors in the summer. When we're talking of colors, you usually think of light colors in the summer and dark colors in the winter. They're just a general guideline. They're a little tough to keep up. But the white belt and the white shoes is in now. Boy, that's, you know, that's really stylish dress. I'll tell you a quick way to find out what looks good together, too, and what's in style, and that's just pick you up a Sears catalog. They're up to date in those things. Now, there are a few things in there that I disagree with. I think they look dumpy. I think they're trying to get rid of some old stock or something. Or in the windows downtown. Man, stop and look at the men's store, see what they put in the window. What do they have looking together, looking good together? And when you get married, a lot of times it's good to have your wife pick out your stuff. Usually gals have had much more experience in getting the colors to go together and all that stuff. But that doesn't mean you guys can't really learn how to do it and do it upright.
How about things like, well, the fads are changing so fast, you know, you have to be a millionaire to keep up with them, to really be here constantly. But where do you draw the line on, like, the width of your lapel? I mean, you know, most of us have 3 or 4 old suits that have narrow lapels, which are still good. But are they still acceptable?
Depends on who we're relating to. Now, see, in our work in Denver, if we are going to go after those sharp business people, they really dress. Oh man, business and professionals. Now, if you're, it depends on who you're after. Now, if I were at Glen Eyrie working, and my job didn't require dressing up, then I wouldn't be as fussy. Now, when we were on a college campus, then I got a little wilder in what I'd wear because I had to be up to date for them. But, you know, you can buy shrewdly. I don't know where it is in my notes, but buy on sale times, and that normally on men's clothing, there are 3 times that sales are on. There are other times, but you can count on these 3 times. During the Christmas season, sometimes they're put on sale just before Christmas, but usually it's right after Christmas. Usually they're trying to clear out their stock, but a lot of them now are putting the sale on like the week before Christmas, just so they can just, you know, get rid of all kinds of stuff. Now, what you pick up at that time will be winter clothing. Another time that they have a lot of sales is Easter time. And that'll be either before or after. And it depends on the community and it depends on the store. Because, you know, the gals get all duded up for Easter. And they get the fancy clothes, and then, you know, the husbands need to look halfway decent. So they have to get the clothes. So that's the Easter thing. July is when I personally like to buy. You say, why in the world do they have sales in July? Well, they have them in July because they're trying to get their winter stock. They got to get their winter stock in there in August so that they get the jump on the fall, see? So they got to clear out all they can in July to make room for all that new stuff that's going to be delivered sometime in the month of July. I personally like to, then you're getting the summer clothing, and I personally like to get the summer clothing because most of us are indoors all the time. And if it's a place where you're wearing a suit and you're indoors, you're going to get too hot if you're wearing that winter outfit. So that's why I like to buy my stuff in July. Okay?
Do you get a sportswear on sale at Sears, let's say, or would you rather go to a main, you know, kind of high-class clothing store?
I'd rather go to the real Ritzy store and get their stuff on sale. When I was going to college, I worked in a Ritzy men's clothing store. That was my part-time job. Boy, talk about temptations. You know, you want to blow all your money. But I found that even though I had a discount as an employee, that I could save more money when the sales came than I could as an employee with my discount. But boy, you got to get there when the doors open. Whew, you know, and get right in there. If you're going to get the best pick of the stuff.
Okay. For an average guy, how much would you say percentage-wise they should spend for clothes in their budget?
I don't know. I could maybe figure it out sometime. But I did figure this out. If a guy was going to start from scratch and set up a whole wardrobe to where he'd really be first class, you're talking about $400. That's for year-round everything. That's walking in there, you know, in your grubbies and starting from scratch. Now, I think it's unrealistic when we're at Glen Eyrie and under certain conditions where we don't have a really good income, that's not the time to buy the clothes. But I don't know what percentage, but... Well, let's go on. I think I've got some more stuff in there, like what's priority and that. That's kind of... Okay, on tithes, let's move on to tithes. Talk about that a little bit. You ought to know how to tie a Windsor, a half Windsor, and a preacher's knot. Those are kind of the three common knots. If you don't know how, maybe you can pick that up from somebody. I won't take time now to go through it. Matter of fact, I think at home I've got a stack of things that tell how to tie ties. If I'd been thinking, I would have brought that. May I mail you up some, Lynn, and we can... Okay. Pardon?
Bow ties?
No, bow ties are really kind of a fad item, I would say. You'll see them in the store, and I think that's getting... somewhere around dress sport or even average sport to wear the bow tie. It's a little different. And I don't know, what do you call those scarf things? I keep forgetting. Never did wear one.
It's kind of an ascot.
Ascot, yeah.
Scarf.
Yeah. Those things are kind of fad items. If you're trying to blend in with the scenery, you might wear things like that, you know. What do they wear with the tux now? They wear either a bow tie or a black tie, and it depends, and I'm not sure what the rule is, but if you ever have to rent one, you know, they'll fix you up the right stuff. And that's so seldom. So learning those knots. Now I've got a half Windsor tied in this. Another item is keep the knot centered and tight. And so, man, if I go into the restroom, I'll check that tie. Be sure it's straight, because we can have good looking clothes and that tie is off to one side, and you say, man, what in the world? You know, here's Joe Mannix. You know, what's going on? And also ties are one of the cheapest ways to add variety to your wardrobe that there is. I've had a suit that I've wearing that thing for 5 years, and just by getting new ties, person, hey, is that a new suit? No, I've had it for a while, you know. And then the shirts would probably be the next category of things that you could change that would make you look up to date with the least expense. So to answer Claude's question on wearing an older suit, if it is a conservative, darker colored suit, good material and it hangs right on you, you know, it doesn't look bad the first day you buy it, then you keep changing shirts and ties, and boy, you got a lot of variety there. Okay?
I heard that on the suits that you can take it to a place that does pressing and alteration, and they can take the lapel and
change it. Uh-huh. Perhaps they can. It's a good word. Maybe we can get lapels changed. Okay. We've already talked about jewelry, the thing of silver and gold. Some things to watch, and that is our gig line. In the military, they talk about the gig line, and that's the line of the edge of the shirt and the edge of the fly. Those ought to be reasonably lined up. So that's, you know, that's just a little thing. You know, just sometimes that's a standard among men, whether that's straight, whether where the shirt that goes right on down. Another is having our tie under the back of our collar. That's a common thing, and it just takes a minute to check that thing. Just lift up the collar, pull it up. But that really looks rinky-dink, if you can see that tie all the way around. Yeah, it's so easy to do. Another is our fly open. Yeah. Boy, I don't know about you, but I've had some embarrassing situations on that. You know? You realize you've been talking to these people, you know? Another one is lumpy things in your front pockets. Now, whenever I get up to talk, I take the stuff out of my front pockets and I toss it in my briefcase. Improves your appearance a great deal. But we can get so much junk in our pockets that you got a real good pair of pants and it just ruins the lines on that thing and it just looks terrible. You might as well have paid $10 less for those pants and gone down to Goodwill and, you know, it really wouldn't have mattered. Yeah, double knits particularly bad. Okay, those are just a few quickie things to watch. Okay, on buying clothes, let me just mention there to let me add just a few things on there. We mentioned the three times for sales. I got to add living off my notes, and I better stick these notes. Another thing is don't spend much on fads. We've touched on that a little bit, but man, you can have one pair of wild trousers and one of these wild gypsy-looking shirts with the big baggy arms and 19 buttons on the cuff, and you know the. You know, well, there might be occasions where you want to wear that setup, you know. But you shouldn't put much money into that kind of stuff. Another is shoot for versatility. And one of the most common things on versatility is buy you a suit that you can wear sports slacks with. Now, my dad and I were in Sears the other day, this last week, he's visiting us. We went in to look, and they were selling them where you'd buy the jacket and trousers the same, but they had a second pair of pants that were like for sportswear. And that's usually a pretty good way to set it up. And in recent years, I've never bought a suit that I couldn't wear, the jacket with slacks. So, boy, that saves you a lot of loot. Okay?
Are there some suit pants that you would not be able to wear the sports pants with, or would that depend on the pants?
Well, there's two sides of that. Usually, you ought to be able to wear the suit pants with a sport shirt or sweater or something. You ought to be able to do that. And then, while I'm on that, is anymore you don't want anything with pleats in it. I mean, they're a straight front on everything now, if you're in style. The old men are wearing the pleats. Okay. But you sure can buy a suit where the jacket won't go with slacks. You sure can. And it's very simple. Just go over to the rack that's got all the sport jackets on it and see what kind of patterns they got in them. Then go find you a suit, something like that. But usually the sport jacket slacks combination is you usually got a pattern in one or the other. And usually you get the pattern in the jacket and plain pants. Because you buy the plain pants, usually a lot of times the shirts got a pattern in them. Usually the more pattern that's in a thing, the less dressy it is. If it's a solid color, it's dressier looking. Now let me just look at all the shirts you got here, and I'll pick out what I think you could wear the dressiest with. Okay, now button down, it's not real dressy. Okay, let's see. Probably Len's straight blue shirt. He could wear that with a suit. You know, out of all those shirts. Okay. Now, where are we? Okay, how to keep looking sharp. Okay, you got the clothes. Oh, price range. One other thing on price range on clothes. You want to buy just in about the middle or just a little higher than the middle on price range. An example of that would be on buying a suit. I would think that you'd want to spend somewhere between $45 and $60 for a suit. Now that's on sale, you know, but you're getting a much better suit than that if you buy it on sale. But anyway, on price range, don't go too cheap, you know, or it's gonna show it. Okay, now how to keep looking sharp, how to keep the clothes looking sharp. One thing is to take off our sport coat in the car. That will do more wrinkle work on a sport jacket than about anything you can do, unless you sleep in it. But boy, you can have that thing, you know, double knit, we're not so worried anymore. But not all suits you buy are going to be double knit. You got to pay a few pennies more for those double knits, boy. You know, they're not real cheap. Now, I wish I brought a sport jacket along, but when you fold the thing, you turn it inside out. That's the way you lay it down any place. Then it won't pick up stains. It won't pick up dust. It won't pick up anything like that. Turn it inside out. That's the way you should lay down a sport coat. How you cross your legs makes a difference. Now, some of you guys are sitting with crossed legs. Okay, you two guys. Okay, nobody change right now. You know, these two guys here, with good slacks, they'll wrinkle up their pants. Now, Fred here, that's the way to do it if you want to keep from getting wrinkled up. So he'll never wrinkle those Levi's, man. But where you've got your ankle on your knee, rather than closing that up, because boy, you're jamming those wrinkles into those clothes. But there again, double knit will work for you. But even double knit will get baggy. You keep, you know, stretching on it.
This should be situational, wouldn't it? How you cross the legs. I mean, you wouldn't say you're going to speak. You don't want to sit up on a platform this way.
Mm-hmm.
Preachers will cross their leg. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, if I probably wouldn't cross mine if I were sitting up there, unless I wanted to give a casual pose, you know, which would relax me and relax them. But a lot of times you're sitting in a home, you know, or sitting in a meeting or anything. Okay, then wear non-iron things as much as you can. Non-iron, non-wrinkle. Boy, you can't beat it. Get the double knit stuff. They're shirts that you can wash overnight. They'll dry fast. You could get along with one shirt when you're traveling, you know, forever. Another thing is hang things straight. Takes just a few seconds more to hang them up straight. And when they're hanging there, the wrinkles are either falling out or getting pressed in, depending on how we hang it. We should not hang up sweaters. Pulls them out of shape. Sweater ought to be folded, put on a shelf, or in a drawer. Okay, anything else on clothing? Let's see. Priorities on clothing. Let's see if I got anything I've overlooked here. Okay, on this basic wardrobe, I've made kind of a list of what would be a basic wardrobe, and this would run somewhere between $200 and $400, depending on how good a deal you make. But one dark suit, medium weight. Now by dark, I don't mean black, but, you know, we're talking about being conservative in our appearance. One sport jacket. Now on that suit, I mentioned you're gonna run somewhere between $40 and $70, somewhere in that price range. That sport jacket, you're gonna spend somewhere between $30 and $50 for that thing. You ought to have five pairs of trousers. Boy, if you could get a couple double knits in that bunch, you'd sure be ahead. If you could get them all double knit, you'd be way, way ahead. Ought to have about seven shirts, and the breakdown on that would be two dress shirts that are, you know, they're really designed to look really sharp with a suit. One sort of a sport dress, pastel kind of shirt like Len has on, you know, one that you can wear either for sport or for suit. And then four miscellaneous shirts, you know, whatever, you know, you bought on sale, you got a good deal, and they look pretty good, and that. So in all of that, you're talking about somewhere around $25 to $35, something like that. Two belts. That's one of those things that you don't have to spend a lot for that, well, you know, really dress things up. You know, these double knits usually got the wide loops in them. Now, one more belt, you know, you come in there, man, you got a whole new outfit, don't you? You know, they look at you, no, just new belt, you know, different buckle on that thing. But they got some really shrewd-looking belts. You know, a place on ties and belts that I like to go to is called the Tie Bar. I don't know if they got one around here. But it's, boy, I sure wouldn't pay the regular price on ties and belts. That's too much money. That Tie Bar is a good deal. One pair of dress shoes. Wait, let's see. Yeah, one pair of dress shoes. So I gave you two belts, didn't I? One pair of dress shoes. About five ties. And about three of those, I'd have the stripes, the rep. Probably three of those would be a stripe in them, and then two others. And I don't know whether the reason I hesitated there is the way there's so much pattern and stuff today. A solid tie sure works. See, I've got on the shirt with a lot of pattern in it. By wearing that solid tie, it doesn't compete. Looks good with that shirt. And you know what this shirt is? It's a short sleeve sport shirt that doubles as a dress up shirt. versatility. Got it on sale at the Denver. Got two of them, a blue one and a red one. It's double knit shirt. Okay.
Do you go for short sleeve shirts most of the time?
I think a short sleeve shirt has more versatility. If you wear, if you're wearing jackets and sweaters in the winter, you're okay with them. But it just happens that right now long sleeve shirts are in. The ones with all the pattern on them, the long sleeve with all the pattern is in. So you got to decide what your budget will do. And if you see, what I did is when I felt I had enough money, I bought me the coolest looking pattern shirt I could find with long sleeves, and I can wear it either with a tie or with slacks. So I got the versatility. Got a lot of good comments out of that shirt, and I got a color that'll go either with all the blues and blacks and that stuff, but it'll even go with the brown. See, so I really got a good buy on that. Okay, then I say two others, three repties and two others, and so all of that'll run you right around $15 to $20, I'd guess. Ties are running a little more these days. One pair of dress shoes, I mentioned that. One pair of sports shoes. So those could be Hush Puppies or Bucks or older leather shoes that, you know, if you do a little maintenance on them, they still look okay. And 8 to 12 pairs of solid color stretch socks. 8 to 12 pair. The reason I say that is, gives you a week, usually on laundry, but it gives you a little cushion there if you don't get right to it. And some days you'll change a couple times. Oftentimes the thing that'll really give you a lift is to change socks. And that sounds dumb, but I learned that from Gene War. He said, boy, he said, I found on a busy schedule, I'll change socks several times a day and it really gives me a boost. Just something about it. So.
On dress shoes or
they can be buckles now. Usually the thing when you're talking, I'll state it again, when we're talking about dressing up, we're talking about plainness, conservativeness. When we're dressing down, we're talking about more extremes. So those boots that zip up the side that have a solid black toe, now those are dressy. You put a buckle on there and you're dressing yourself down just a little bit by putting that buckle on there.
What about mentioning anything on socks and dress, or if you're many occasions, if you're up in a platform or something, if you got those socks up good and high and bright color. Really it's crummy to mess the flies in between there when on certain occasions.
Yeah. If I were on the platform much, I get those socks that come up the knees, and I keep them solid. Yeah, that's right. And holes in the bottom of the shoe, same thing when you're up there. Unless you're out raising money, that's a good thing if you're out raising money. Now, if you can get, I keep thinking of things. I don't have my notes, so excuse me for being disorganized, but we're trying to put a lot into a short time here. If you can get all your clothing in either the blue, black, gray department or the brown, tan department, you're way ahead. Now, if you got both blue and brown stuff, you got to have a pair of black shoes and you got to have a pair of brown shoes, because you don't wear brown shoes with black and blue and gray. See? That little color deal we talked about earlier. So figure out what you look best in and then get all your clothes in that department. I hardly have anything that's brown. About everything I got is the blue, black, gray department, and my shoes are that color.
Now you can figure out what you look best in. What's the
difference? I'm not real sure what to say on that, Will. I think if we got black or dark brown hair, we usually look better in the blue and black and gray. If we've got reddish or rusty or brownish hair that's not that dark, I think we might look real good in the brown. But I'm just taking a shot at that one. I really don't know for sure.
Sometimes you get a comment from people.
Comment from people.
Don't you look good?
Yeah.
That's what I go a lot on.
Yeah.
Definitely looks good. I mean, maybe I should stick to that color.
Good deal. I wish I knew more about that.
What about a pair of two-tone shoes? Like I have my dress shoes are, they're the toe and then the top part is black and the middle is brown. So would that would go with either.
Yes, it would. Right there, some shoes, cordovan goes with both. But it's still not as dressy as wearing black shoes with the blue and brown shoes with the brown. But there are some versatile shoes like that, and that's buying for versatility. That's a good plan.
Just a thought. Say if you got a silver watch and you've got, you have gold cufflinks and a silver watch. Is that out? Would you should take your watch off or something?
If you really want to look great, I would. Yeah. Now, see, that was one of the things that made me go to a leather band. Because it doesn't emphasize. I got a gold, that you know, I got such a good deal on that. Did you know I couldn't be too choosy as to whether I got silver or gold? And so that plays it down to where people don't notice so much that gold. But you put that big gold band on there, and it stands out like a neon sign. So they're just a cheap old way to get around that.
There was one small minor problem I had when I wore leather, when I had a short sleeve or a long sleeve shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd have to have the shirt up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it said it'd feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't get that.
Right.
That's
really true. I don't know the solution. Mm-hmm. I've decided I'll have my watch not under my shirt or my sweater, but out there where I can get to it. Now that's my decision. Another thing, those metal bands will chew up sweaters and shirts like crazy if you haven't found that out. It's tragic. I've had some really good shirts that I chewed that left sleeve all up. And it, you know, it looked like I'd reached down to disposal on the sink, you know, or something. You know, really bad. Okay, go ahead.
You always wore a long sleeve shirt. Do you always button that? Do you have a sweater or jacket on?
Do you always button
the sleeve?
The sleeve.
I rolled one up twice.
Uh huh. Okay, if on a long sleeve shirt, if we roll up the sleeve, we've dressed ourselves down. And I've used that on occasion to. You know, I said, man, I'm just overdressed. And I get working on those buttons and roll them up a couple notches, and there you are, you've dressed down.
Even under your jacket or sweater?
Oh, where it doesn't show like that, if for comfort, you know, it doesn't matter at all.
Oh, I maybe think showing the cuff out the end of
the shirt. Showing the cuff out the end. That keeps varying, and the last I knew it was okay to show a little bit of cuff out the end of the sport jacket. But that'll be a thing which will keep changing on us. But the last I knew, and I think that's up to date, is a little bit of cuff showing out's okay. And usually the pattern is when they're using cufflinks, then the style comes out to where they want the cufflinks and the sleeve to show. Something else?
I was going to ask you, Ron, about the button on the sweater.
Uh-huh.
On a button sweater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's right, but just in my mind, it looks rinky-dink to have the bottom ones unbuttoned and something up above it, you know. It just, you know, looks kind of, you know, like he didn't quite have time to...
Yeah.
I think it just looks neater and more organized to do it that way. And then leave a little bit open. It's kind of like a three-button jacket.
I've now, some reps to do it that way. Have the buttons unbuttoned.
Uh-huh.
When they speak.
Well, they probably need to jog, you know, and get rid of what's popping that open. No. Uh-huh. And it's distracting, I think. Okay.
How about the sweater? Do you have to talk a little bit about sweater?
Well, I think sweaters are, I don't have it on my notes, but I think sweaters are really a versatile thing, especially if they're solid color. Now, I had my wife keep a lookout on seconds. Now, these Arnold Palmer sweaters, they cost normally $23, right? Okay, you get seconds, and she paid $11.
Wow.
And see, this is a second. I mean, who can tell?
Where can you normally get seconds?
I haven't found any place in Denver. You know? There's usually a
bargain basement.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing you can go around and ask. You say, listen, do you ever get any seconds in cardigan sweaters? Cardigan means button up the front, right? And kind of check around. But she found a place when we were in Michigan, and I'm still wearing those things 3 years later, you know, after moving here. But boy, if you make a shrewd buy, you know.
How about color of the sweater? Light or dark?
Doesn't matter whether they're light or dark, but they should be solid. Let me go on with my list here. We've got 8 to 12 pairs of solid stretch socks, 8 to 12 sets of underwear. The only thing I'd say about the underwear is, if you're talking about t-shirts, they need to look good through the collar. You know, now, Len's really looks good. I'll just, you know, his is fairly new. Yeah, most of them, you know, I think they all look good. But that's where I watch the underwear is there. I can't think of an occasion where that would be necessary.
You know, I want to keep it clean. Lots of times, I can't get the collars to stay clean.
Yeah.
The rest of the t-shirt looks plain white.
Yeah, they can start looking a little yellow on you. And just pump the bleach to them. It'll take a little life out of them, but it'll keep them white. And certain brands you'll find tend to get looking bad sooner than others. I don't even know what brands to tell you, but have you? Pennies? Uh-huh. Good.
I had some penny undershirts and an underwear when I bought them with my wife in McCallum. It took me all the way through.
Huh.
And after
interesting.
A year,
yeah.
Of continuous black water.
Uh-huh.
You're paying a little bit over $1
mm-hmm.
per undershirt.
Yeah. About $1.25 usually is what you have to pay to get quality. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Uh huh.
I heard the same remark by a lady who had a lot of kids and stuff. And the husband would get underwear. She says, pennies are out last
week. Huh? Terrific.
Mm-hmm. I've had good success with Gibson's, too.
Uh huh. Gibson. Yeah, I bought some Sears shorts and they're the worst things I ever bought. Mm-hmm. Paid $1.40 a pair, too, for them.
Consumer Reports rated pennies at the top as far as your underwear.
Terrific. Uh-huh. Okay, good news. Okay, then the next item I have is one solid colored sweater cardigan. And I put down $10 to $20 for that. For underwear, I put $16 to $30. For stretch socks, I put $8 to $16. Put one colored sweater. Now, the trouble with light colored sweater is it gets dirty easier. Darker the color, less it'll show the junk that's on it. Except dust. The dark stuff shows dust. So if you can hit something that's not going to show dust, but is dark, you know, boy, you're really in business. And like I'd say, that shirt right there, see, that won't show either dirt or dust. This one will show dust on the dark. And this red one will tend to show dust up close, but not from a distance. You know, just kind of keeping that in mind. Claude?
Just a note on the double-knit slacks. The problem with them is that they snag, and it's hard to repair that. You can get a light pattern, not light color, but not a real loud pattern.
Uh-huh.
It won't show the snag if you get them.
Yeah, that's true. And you can reach through with a crochet hook and pull those snags back through on both sweaters and on double knits. Okay? The next item I've got here is a top coat or jacket. An ideal is one of these rain coats with the liner that zips out of those things. And you'll get those anywhere between $20 and $70, depending on the brand and whether you get it on sale. That's probably the most versatile thing you got going. So there's a wardrobe. That's the whole thing. Let me mention three options here. And that is a bathrobe, particularly if you're going to be visiting in other homes, that it's a good thing to have a bathrobe. And slippers is an option, particularly in cold country. Boy, you know, it's just kind of a bad deal when the floor is cold. And a third thing I've got as an option is a hat. So that would be something that you could wear with your suit or with your sport jacket. Okay, any comments on all of that?
How about the top coat? Light color or dark?
Preferably dark on a top coat. Dark navy, dark blue or charcoal. Or right, the light ones get dirty. Boy, they get dirty. And you sit down on things in a top coat. The light ones look beautiful. You know, they're really nice, but it's going to cost you for maintenance. In some areas, umbrellas are helpful. These are just kind of some miscellaneous things that will help. Umbrellas sometimes, shoe trees are sometimes a good deal to have, particularly for your dress-up shoes. Clothes brush is another thing that's good to have on hand. And I think a clothes brush with those light copper bristles will beat those sticky magookum things that you roll with the sticky stuff on it. I think you'll beat those nine ways. Now, something you can use for that sticky stuff is if you can get a hold of some discontinued bumper stickers. Those work great. They really work. So you just rip one off, you know, rip it in half or in thirds and use that type of stuff. But you pay such a premium for that third-class masking tape that they got on those things. And regular masking tape really isn't sticky enough to help you. So, you know, you're kind of up against it. Clothes brush, suit hangers. You can get those 35 cents a piece. Oftentimes when you buy a suit, if you ask, say, hey, can I have that hanger? They'll say, sure. Good advertising. Got the name on it. And it keeps that jacket looking so much nicer than if you try to put them on wire hangers. It really wrecks a jacket. Let's see. If you travel a lot, an inflatable hanger is a good deal to have. Okay. Let's move on to manners and poise, okay? See what damage we can do there. In 1953, there was an etiquette suggestions seminar at Glen Eyrie, and I don't know if you can get a hold of those, but you might check on that, Len. You're welcome to Xerox off a copy of mine if you get really stuck, but just don't lose it. I really need this. But there are a lot of suggestions on table manners, conversation, and that sort of thing, some grooming social suggestions. So you might check on that. I'd like to make a number of suggestions related to girls and our etiquette related to relating to them. I'll do this rapid fire, but getting in and out of cars, it is a proper etiquette to give her our hand to help her out and then to look away as she gets out. Put ourselves in a position where she doesn't feel embarrassed as she gets out. So to give her hand is completely appropriate and very thoughtful thing to do. Number two, in shaking hands, it is her responsibility to take the initiative on shaking hands. It is not the man's responsibility. So keep those hands down to the sides. And if no matter what her age is, it is her responsibility to reach out to shake your hand. But you can just make your pleasant comments and nod your head. But it is inappropriate to reach out to take her hand. Number three is to walk on the outside of sidewalks, the curbside. It's an old-fashioned custom that had to do with the days when the streets were mud and she could be splattered as carriages went by and that sort of thing, but it's a thoughtful thing. It's very easy to maneuver right around to the other side when you change sides of the street or walk across an intersection. Number four is to stand when a gal enters the room. It's a very thoughtful thing and appreciated. Simply stand, and it doesn't have to be a long stand. Just as she enters, it's important to stand. I don't think it fits into the classroom situation, certainly. I don't think it fits in the dining room. I don't think it fits when working in your office and that sort of thing. But I think it does. I think it does fit if you're sitting with three or four people in the great hall, and Marina Downing approaches. Then I think you men should stand, particularly if it's a person older. It shows respect, and I think we're just fellas and girls. You're in the area all the time. It's not appropriate. It's more in a formal setting, a living room or. Then, if you're out to dinner with a girl, you should give her a hint about the menu price range that you're thinking. You're looking at the menu, and as the escort, you should say, you know, this prime rib looks really great. I think maybe I'll have that. Or, you know, this crab thermidor really looks good. Okay, you've just told her that you're willing to pay $6 or $7. Okay? You know? But, and it, or, you know, you look at that and say, you know, I really think that that double hamburger and a side of, you know? Yeah. But see, she's in a very embarrassing position there if you're silent. See, you can see that, can't you? That you attitude thing? Ooh. What is she going to do? She can't make a move until you've... And so what happens? If we don't act there, we get up the time to order, and we say, what would you like? Then she's really on the spot. So what she'll have to say is, well, why don't you order first? I haven't really decided. Then you order, and then she knows what the price range is. Then she's got to figure quickly. So we really put the pressure on her. Great. Very good. If he's going to pay the bill. Beautiful.
He doesn't say anything, just
talk
it to
him. Okay, hold building doors. Hold building doors for her. Very simple act. There are some occasions where you would go through the door first, but usually you allow her to go through. But if it's a situation where, you know, it's an uncertainty about where you're going, where you're directing through a hallway or anything, you may take the lead on that. Seating her at a table to just push the chair up to where it's comfortable for her to sit, and then she'll usually kind of nudge forward, you know, and you should... Usually a good thing is just take the tip of your toe and just touch the back leg with that and hold the top. And then when she gives that little nudge, just push with your foot a little bit and with your hands, and the chair will go right into the table about where it should be. Being on time for dates and appointments, very important. There's a lot of overlap into other applications, but I particularly set this up because we men usually are kind of clods around women. Okay?
When you say on time, you mean right on the nose? Or
a little early. Billy Graham has said 5 minutes early is on time. That's his rule of thumb. The next item is to help her with her coat, both on and off. Usually she doesn't want you touching her when you do that. She just wants you to help her with the coat. And it also makes it look like we're kind of presumptuous or, you know, just isn't in good taste. Next item is to be a retriever and carrier of things. You know, that's just being of service. Extra things. Well, couldn't I carry that for you? Could I put that in the car? I believe I left my coat. Just a moment, I'll get that. But being a retriever and a carrier of things. Next item is have little decisions made, such as the route you're going to travel, where you're going to go, and it gets you off to a good start of taking the leadership in that relationship. But having thought through, and on some occasions I've actually made a dry run on a trip to figure out, you know, just how you got into a certain place and that sort of thing, so I was able to maintain the leadership in it. Be a brother and a friend, not show eagerness. It turns girls off if they feel we're being overly familiar, but they really appreciate having us as a brother and a friend. And if a deeper relationship is going to develop, it will develop from that base. Women usually like humor. They don't like to have us be too serious. Though they don't want us all humor, they want some balance. But usually we fellows need to work on humor. Okay, those are some quickie things. Related to families. A few thoughts related to families. Number one, not to complain about the food. Sounds like a silly one. But most single fellows don't realize how much work a gal puts in on a meal. Just what it's cost her in the way of time and effort. So if you can't compliment it, say nothing about it. Do not correct children in a home. The only time we'd interfere with children is if they're in danger. They're messing around with some electrical cords, or there's a place where they could get their hands caught in a window or something. Yes? Okay. In the bathroom, there's several things I'd like to mention about the bathroom. And that is the ring on the tub. That is a thing which we really need to watch if we're visiting a home, to get rid of that ring on the tub. Work at that. Also leaving the sink clean. I noticed the statement in the bathroom down by the downstairs dining area over there. There's a comment about cleaning the sink. That's good news. Another thing is when you urinate, it's good not to stand because it's causes spots on the floor and on the seat or on the sub seat. Yes, I was going to say that, Will. That's right. It's a very noisy thing. I remember Jake Combs said he just would get down on one knee. That's the way he solved it. Is that way DOS touch? Yeah. Or just to sit down. And but that noise and is really, you know, it's just in such bad manners. Really can. Yeah. 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 And then you go to clean a floor or to clean that John, and all those little spots all over you on the floor, just all kinds of spots. And boy, for housekeeping, that's really bad news. Keeping the towels straight, keeping toothpaste off of the mirror. All you got to do is stand back a little ways, or keep your mouth closed. We shouldn't get the bath mat all soaked with water. We can stand in the tub and sort of squeegee off with our hands, get rid of some of that extra water, and dry pretty much in the shower or tub if we can. And of course, that means not on the floor either. See, we've already covered avoid noise. Lock the door, because there are often children and they're used to running in and out here and there. And it just saves embarrassment of someone. coming through. The shower curtain should be inside the tub. That's maybe not even worth mentioning, but I've seen that happen with fellows, so I've got it on my list. Some showers have both an outside and an inside shower curtain. They have a decorative shower curtain. A lot of young guys don't realize that. And they'll put the decorative curtain also inside the tub, and that will tend to stain. It may be a very expensive fabric or, you know, something that has been worked out. And only the inner lining goes into the tub. Faucet should be turned off. You need to be aware of that, not leave water dripping. Usually it's appropriate to put the lid down on the toilet. Usually there's a decorative cover on that, and it's meant to be down. And sometimes if it's put up, it will damage the decorative cover as it pushes against the back of the toilet. Tissue shouldn't be clear down to the floor. You know, it should, you know, where it's been torn off should be up reasonably close to the dispenser. Okay, that kind of covers the bathroom situation. Several other items related to families. Being willing to drive if a wife wishes. Often women don't like to drive in traffic or drive across town. So we jump in and say, I'd be happy to drive if you'd care to have me do it for you. Not be pushy, but be willing to. Next item is sit in easy chairs. We don't drop into easy chairs. We can actually damage the furniture if we drop into them. And when you do get into a family situation, often the budget is very tight and a family saves for many months to buy a piece of furniture. And they've tried to buy good quality and they're trying to keep it for many years. And we can drop into it and really cause them to cringe, and it's really in poor taste. Also, our head against a wall, pillow, or chair, even though the dry look is in and the wet head is dead, there is still grease in the hair. And that will stain a wall, it will stain a chair, it will stain a pillow. And so what I do is I cup my hand behind my head if I lean it back on anything, on any furniture, and I wouldn't put my hand against a wall. Watch about your feet kicking furniture is another item. I've been in homes where I was with other fellows doing fundraising, and I've seen a husband or wife just cringe because one of the fellows in shifting position would kick a coffee table or kick the chair he was sitting in, which had wooden parts on it. And we need to be very sensitive about that. Don't even handle breakables. Don't touch a breakable. Don't. So, oh my, this is a beautiful vase, you know, and you just see them cringe, you know. Now, they may pick it up all they want. That's their business, but we don't touch a breakable. Don't ignore people for magazines and books if you're in a group. So easy to pick up something that's on the coffee table and say, man, this National Geographic, boy, that's sure interesting. And take off on that. It's not good. Another is watch walking on grass and flowers. Usually that's from the car to the car. If in doubt, take the long way and go up the sidewalk. But maybe they've got a lot of traffic already in that neighborhood and they've made a rule that no kids, nobody walks on that lawn. And then we violate it. We should not ridicule hobbies and interests. I've been in situations where said, oh, you're a bird watcher? You know, or you collect stamps. Or, you know, golf, that's a stupid game. You walk, it's a hitting this little white thing around a pasture, and you know. So watch ridiculing their hobbies and interests. It may be a very unusual thing, but we need to hang in there. We need to watch expressing our firm convictions about raising children, wives, or business. We maybe haven't even experienced these things. We need to watch stating these. Boy, when I get married, I'm going to do such and such. Boy, if I had a business, I'd never let such and such happen. And we can make these statements, and often they're things which we have no idea of what's really involved. Another item is to be considerate of others who are sleeping. Learning how to open and close doors in a home where there are children sleeping is important. To be sure that thing is completely turned, and then for it just to touch the casing and then let the thing out easy instead of slamming or releasing the knob when it is shut and making a lot of noise. Sharing available space is the last item I have under that list. That we can be a little too piggish about if we're staying in their home for a short time as to how much room we take up. And usually just live out of our suitcase and hang up what we need to in a little area, but to really be thoughtful in sharing the space that's available. And oftentimes, as a guest in a home, really that home was built for the family that lives there and not for guests. And so we are really imposing on them and need to be considerate of that.